anyway, we're talking about planning. This is my week. Here's my week all planned out. I'm going to Akron. The first little one I have on my calendar, drive to preach, so that if the IRS ever comes after me, I can tell them what I do on Sundays. And then the rest of it is in Akron. I leave. Anyway, that's my week. I thought it was really heavy. Does anybody do this? Do you ever do a calendar? Do the teenagers do calendars? You guys do calendars of your week? No. Moms do. All right. Well, you will someday. So that's my week. And I thought about this weekend when, and I think it was lucky that the women had this shower thing, because if it was the guys, we would all be at Tracy's yesterday, right? We wouldn't have not looked. We would have not. So there's this kind of flexibility training about what.
Did you know that I totally messed up and had the day on the wrong day?
Yeah, we look at it. That's the point. We have plans that sometimes go wrong. We have songs that we forget. We have. It's called flexibility training. That's good. That's the point. The point is, we need to be flexible, right? You get all these plans done, and you get all these meetings set, and you get all these dates set, and you go, uh-oh, you know, your week was a little messed up last week. And what I want to hand out, and the reason I'm doing this is, why don't you pass these out, or pass them down. I don't know how many I have. The bottom one, the back ones don't have the gray on it. This is today is Palm Sunday. We don't do that, but this is the start of what they call the Passion Week. And as I thought through this, and here's some verses too. I don't know. You can.
What does that mean? We don't do Palm Sunday.
We don't.
We don't do that.
You mean like a Lutheran thing?
Yeah. I mean, did anybody bring palms today?
Oh,
are you really? Okay, the kids are.
And paint sticks,
but. Okay, they're not here. Okay, in terms of the Lutheran thing, we don't do Palm Sunday. Do you know whenever you see Catholics with their thing on their head, do you know where that comes from? Same?
Last year's
burnt palms. Oh, you're standing up. They burn the palms from this year before, and they keep the ashes, and then on Ash Wednesday, they put that little thing on their head. This is kind of. Huh?
Means they went to Mass.
Means they went to Mass, I guess. Well, or now they have priests on the street that just give it to you so that you can, yeah. You can cheat. But the disciples starting, you know, when we're going to look at this week, there's actually 9 days starting on, and the month is Nisan, I think is how you pronounce it, and the date is 70. I was going to put AD so you know in the upper left-hand corner. So we're looking at what? That's okay. That's okay. We can. I like talking. I like speak. You know. So this is the week. As the disciples approached this week, they're like they had certain plans in mind. They had that week pretty much planned out. The Jews, the Pharisees, and the Sadducees pretty much had some plans this week. And that's what's at the bottom, that little dark line. That's kind of their plans. As you go through this, I read a couple commentaries. One was Pentecost's The Words and Works of Jesus Christ. And in there, they have several different dates in there and scenarios of this week. And we're just going to hit some of these. If you want to look, like if you have a Ryrie Study Bible in the back of it, they have these 8 or 9 days in there, and I didn't cover all of them and everything that happens. But as we go through this week, you kind of want to tie this whole week together and think about the plans that the disciples had, the plans that the Jews had, and the plan that God had. So it starts the Saturday, the Sabbath. That's the Sabbath for the Jews. It's the beginning of the week. They actually think Wednesday was the 10th of Nisan. Now, I don't know. That's Harold Honer. When you go through some of this stuff, The guys that are in computers would probably be way better at this. I get past about the third number, and I'm bleh. I can't figure it all out. But they have dates. They actually know the date that this happened, okay? And they trace it back to Daniel anyway. So it starts on this Sabbath, on a Saturday. That's the Jewish Sabbath, where they're going to go to Jerusalem, but first they stop in Bethany. That's what, and the first little thing there. And they go to the house of Simon the leper. Now, when you say the word Simon the leper, would you be real thrilled to go? In those days, would you? Well, let's all go get leprosy. So what is this telling you about Simon? If Jesus went there with the disciples, what does that tell you about Simon the leper? He was probably healed. The lepers had to run around yelling, unclean, unclean. You couldn't even go near them. But Jesus heads to Simon the leper's house. Think of, now, everybody's sitting there looking at Simon. What else happened in Bethany? Do you remember? What big thing just happened? Well, I don't know how long ago from this date. What else happened in Bethany? Lazarus. Mary and Martha were probably in this meeting. They think Lazarus was here. So the disciples, think of this is a great day. You know, this is the start. The Messiah is going to take over. Look at Lazarus is sitting right here. What was it like, Lazarus? Look at Simon the leper. He's right here. And during that time is when, and again, when you go through some of these things, when you read the different accounts in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, when Mary anoints his feet, you read the two stories. There's one of the writers says Mary anointed his head with oil, right? The other one says she anointed what? His feet, and wiped his feet with her hair. Now, if somebody was like, wanted to argue with you and say, see, there's a contradiction in the Bible, what would you say? Could have done both. Maybe, sounds like she might have done both. One guy said, Mary poured the ointment on his feet. Another one saw it on his head. She probably did both. So this is like the start of the day. This is the Sabbath, and the disciples are going, this is going to be unbelievable. This is the great day. The Messiah is here. This is the day we've been waiting for. John 12, big crowds are coming to see him. They're coming to Bethany. Bethany is about a mile and a half away from Jerusalem. So Jerusalem is now filled with people. They think that the roads leading into Jerusalem were lined with tents and people coming for the Passover. And Josephus says that during the Passover week, 200 some animals were sacrificed. 200,000 some animals were sacrificed. This is the priests were busy. This was an active time. The crowds, this isn't one guy standing at the door looking in. This is people outside of Simon's house, the leper, going, he's here. The Messiah is here. We got plans. This is going to be great. And then below the line, and the Jewish leaders are thinking, we got to get rid of Lazarus. This is too much evidence. He's sitting right here. What do we do with Lazarus? And if you read some of the, they're looking to kill him. We got to get him gone. So you got the disciples thinking, what a great day. And the Jews going, all right, let's get rid of Lazarus. Then Sunday comes along, and he heads up to Jerusalem. This is the day. This is what's considered Palm Sunday. When he enters the Jerusalem, there's huge crowds. These stories where he tells the disciples, go get the donkey, and this is how it's going to happen, and this is what you're going to see, and the guy's going to wonder what you're doing with it. And he's sitting on, and the throngs, there's people on both sides of the street, and he comes riding in on a donkey. And people are cheering. This is the day we've been waiting for. The Messiah is here. And if you read, and I had to scratch out Luke 11 because it's Luke 19, verse 41, that says, Jesus sat and wept. This isn't like, you know, I don't know if I've ever really noticed this in any of the Jesus movies. You know, this isn't just some little Jesus sitting on a donkey and a tear cup rolling down his eyes. This is weeping. This is that thunder? Yikes. Am I saying the wrong thing? No. This is picture in your mind. You don't have to see, you don't have to go to Hollywood to think about this image of this. He doesn't look like some Swede that they usually looks like. And he doesn't have the big white robe on. I'm sure, this dusty, dirty guys, and he's riding on this donkey, crying his eyes out. Looking up at Jerusalem going, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, if you would have just believed. And imagine disciples looking at this. Why is he crying? You know, we just saw, he's crying at Lazarus. Maybe he's just a little emotional. Looking at Jerusalem going, oh, Jerusalem. You know, I don't know. Was he looking ahead to what was about to happen? Crying over Jerusalem, crying over people that would not believe. And the crowds loved him. The crowds were, behold the king, Hosanna, he's finally here. Israel's going to be free from the Roman fist. We're free. And the Jewish leaders are running around to the disciples, or to say to Jesus, tell your disciples to shut up. That's the Greek for quit making a ruckus. You know, behold the king, Hosanna, tell them to be quiet. And at that same day, on Sunday, the day that Jesus is on this donkey coming into Jerusalem, in the background, near the temple, the priests are all getting together and they're picking the Passover lamb. Maybe that's what he was crying about, realizing the Passover lamb was on the donkey. Monday. They head back on Sunday. So they think he headed back there. Most people feel like he went back and forth from Bethany to Jerusalem. He stayed up because you had to stay outside the city. The city was filled with people. So they go at the end of Sunday. They go back to Jerusalem. I said back to Bethany. That's not right. So Monday they're headed again to Jerusalem. And this is the story where he's walking. And I think I've brought a fig leaf in one time. Our neighbor has a fig. Have you ever seen a fig bush? The leaves are like this big. So he's walking along and he sees the fig tree and filled with leaves, and he's hungry. And he goes up and he looks and, really you can't see the figs. It's amazing that you can't see figs on until you get up to it. And starts looking under the leaves, no figs. Remember what he does? Cursed it. And people remember this. People are going to remember. The disciples are like, what? And it's an example of a tree with leaves and no fruit. The nation of Israel. You got the leaves, you got blessed, but no fruit. This is the day he goes up and he goes into the temple and I put on here, I'm going to clean out my house. What do you, and it's time he didn't have the whip, but he throws out all the money changers again. You can't make my temple a temple of, to make money, it's the wrong thing. You're using the very temple that was there to bring you into a relationship with the living God, and he cleans out his house again. And he heads back to Bethany. And then below the line, now the Jews in Luke 19 are saying, we need to get rid of him. This is enough. We got to get rid of Lazarus. This is serious. We're going to lose. The religious leaders, the Sadducees and the Pharisees that had all the power and had all the money and had control, and they thought, if this goes on, we're going to lose a lot. We need to kill him. Wonder who can do this for us. So they go back to Bethany, stay there. Tuesday, when you read through kind of in the Ryrie and some of the chronology of this week, it mixes up Tuesday and Wednesday. I couldn't, you know, and if I was better at all the numbers, I could figure out what exactly happened on each one of these days. But this is when there's so many stories that you know and have heard, and most of these events, these big events, occurred during that. They call it the Passion Week, from that Sabbath when he came to Bethany to Sunday when the tomb was empty. And these are some of the things. It's a really busy day. He has all this teaching. They walk by the fig tree now, and the fig tree now is noticeably dead. What's up with that, the disciples? What's going on? Well, and he tells the story. If Israel would have just believed, then there's questions from the high priest. What authority do you have to do this? Why? Who do you think you are? And then he tells the story of the vineyard. Remember, the guy owns the vineyard and he leaves it to caretakers, and the owner sends the guy back, one of the guys that works for him. He goes back to the vineyard and they kill the guy. And he says, well, I'll send my son. Surely they will take care of him. And the guys at the vineyard think, this is our opportunity. We kill the son and the vineyard is ours. Do you think the Sadducees and the Pharisees, some actually, after this point, some did believe. Maybe they remembered that story when he was finally killed. And then, the next one, is it lawful to pay taxes? There's a new version of the Bible, and my answer is next to there. No, it's not. No, I'm kidding. That's a joke. Because today, I wonder if that's why the IRS has it in April. Maybe, no, I don't. But we just paid our taxes, and I want to say, no, it's not lawful to pay taxes to Caesar. But that's not what he said. But these are when all these questions happened. They're trying to trap him. And you know that story. I mean, you know the story. Render to God what is God, and to Caesar what is Caesar's. So when you write that check, you know, and I wasn't happy about it. We just did it. I should have been happier to write the check to Uncle Sam. But that's what he said. It's Caesar's money. Don't worry about it. All this happened during that week. Can you imagine the fervor in all these people hearing this and trying to get closer? What's he going to say? You know, we don't like paying taxes. Why should I pay taxes to Rome, to Caesar? This is way worse than paying to Uncle Sam. This was way worse for them. These were people that were persecuting them. And then this isn't all the stories. A lot of people are coming to bring money. This is the time when everybody brings their money, and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and their... And have you ever been to a church where they pass the basket and it's on a pole and it passes in front of you and, you know, and it goes down and it's like everybody, you're kind of looking around. And maybe I shouldn't be looking around, but I looked around. And have you ever been to, we went to Tony Evans's church one time, and they, when they take the offering, they said, oh, it's time for the offering. And all of a sudden, like, the baskets just start popping up. They're under people's seats, and they start passing them, and people are writing checks and throwing money in it. And 10 minutes later, the guy goes, we didn't give enough. I think somebody else needs to give. So they had, like, 3 or 4 offerings. Have you ever been to one? It was literally, they had 3 or 4 offerings. Because if you missed, or you felt that you didn't feel guilty enough, you had to give again. But that's what was happening. All these people are throwing money in. Listen to this. You know, and you can just, you know, I mean, stupid human pride. I mean, I could see me doing this. You know, to get as many pennies as I could. You know, we don't want to do it with dollar bills because it's not going to make any noise. Throwing as many pennies. And then this widow comes up and clinks in 2 coins, and you can see the Sadducees going, it's nothing. She gave everything she had. And I'm thinking, and again, I think you, I don't want to get off into the whole giving thing, but just be happy with what you give. Whatever it is, God will make it stretch. You sit here and, you know, God will make it stretch. Whatever it is. And then in the other story is when he tells, now they're in this beautiful, think of being, I don't know, what's one of the prettiest buildings you've ever been in? Have you ever been in has anybody ever been to St. Peter's? No, me neither. I've never been to I have certain buildings that I really like. I haven't been in a New First Baptist, but if they have a big fountain out in front and, you know, big glass walkways, and it's really looks pretty nice. Think of being in the temple, in this big, beautiful temple, the gold walls, and Jesus said, it's going to be gone. This is about to be gone. You know, and the disciples had to be going, wait a minute, what? This can't be. This can't be. We got plans, Jesus, you know, and we're ready to take over. And you need to sit on that, you know, in the front of the temple in a couple days, and you're going to be the king, the son of David. And what do you mean this is going to be destroyed? And then that day, the Jewish leaders found help. Judas comes. Says, hey, I think we can make a deal. We can swing a deal. And that's in Luke chapter 22, verses 1-6, where he's betrayed one of his own. So, you know, when you think you have a weird week, this week for the disciples had to be the most bizarre events of their life. And when they write this, you can understand why they would have such detail when they write this stuff. Because this they would remember. And then I said on Wednesday, more teaching. It's like it's hard to decide what happened on what day between Tuesday and Wednesday. And Thursday, they head back, and he tells, this is now getting ready for Passover. He tells the 2 disciples to go and prepare the Passover. And this is the upper room discourse. This is when they end up, he says, we'll find a place, we'll get alone, just the 12 of us, or 13 of us, we'll get alone and we'll celebrate the Passover. And this is my body and blood, which is shed for you. And we hear that all the time. The disciples are like, what? I mean, as much as they've been taught from him, that had to be odd, you know. This was the Passover. This was celebrating what God did for the Jews, passing over the house of the Jews that had the blood on the doorpost. It said, your blood, your body. I don't know. But I'm guessing this might have started to click, maybe. But right after that, that's when I have in here, the next question is, okay, your body and blood, who's going to be the greatest? When you take over, which one of us is really going to be the top? You know, and I'm, sometimes we could really think the disciples are really stupid and think, what were they thinking? And it's easy for me to take the speck out of their eye and miss the timber in mine. Would I, if I was sitting there and thinking to myself, we're going to be in charge. I've dedicated 3 years of my life to you. Can I be top? Just let me be. Who will be the greatest in your kingdom? And then he takes them off. I mean, just read these stories again when you get home. Read them. Where he goes off into the garden and he said, will you just come and pray with me? You want to be a big shot? You want to really be top? Come and pray with me. And they fall asleep. Were they up all night thinking, making plans of, you know, I'm going to sit here and you're going to, I mean, I this is all conjecture, but just read the simple story. He goes off to pray. Just come and pray with me. And he gets, walks over and says, dude, you can't stay up for a couple minutes? You'd remember that. The writers of this book remembered. It doesn't, you know, and I know that the Holy Spirit led them in this, but these are memorable days. And this is also when, I mean, on that Thursday, in church, what is it, Maundy Thursday? What does Maundy mean? I don't even know. I don't know. I should have looked that up. But in church history, that's what that Thursday is called. And this is when he sits there when he's praying, and this is, Father, if it's possible, remove this cup from me. And when we were doing John with the men on Tuesdays, I mean, you read this story in John, and you're just like, wow. He willingly took this on. He wasn't forced to. He didn't. It wasn't the Romans. This wasn't the Jews. I mean, they had their hand in it. This was Jesus willingly for you and for me. Not because he, you know. I mean, think of what he could have done when they came to get him in the garden. With his one word, put him down. But he didn't. And then this is Peter's denial again. You know, at the end of we finished John without you. At the end of John, where he now he's been back, and John talks about, you know, a bunch of if we wrote all the stuff we could write about Jesus and what happened, the world couldn't contain all the books, because we had a lot of stories, and you should have heard the conversations we had together. And then he goes up to Peter, and Peter, you know, this. It is so intimate when you think about Peter. And Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Well, yeah, you know I do. Tend my sheep. Peter, do you really love me? He asks him three times. And you're just like, I imagine at the end, Peter finally went, read those stories. Read the end of John, the last chapter of John. Read the interaction between the Messiah, the King of the universe that Peter denied, and Jesus kind of let him up. Just love me, Peter. You know, and then this is Thursday is when he's arrested. Friday, you know, the trial, the crucifixion. I was talking to, we were over at Paul Singleton's to do our taxes. And Bob was there, and he said, they just went to Jerusalem. Lake Point went to Jerusalem to film for Easter Sunday, and they said there was, under Pilate and Caiaphas's house, they found dungeons, and they had these areas where they would, you know, roll dice on whether they were going to beat the guy or kill him or whatever, and they said there's still dried blood there. And one of the guys said, wouldn't that be curious if it was still his? Now, that was 2,000 years ago, who knows? And they said, my dad used to get really mad when preachers would say, well, I just got back from Jerusalem, when our vacation was to, like, Wisconsin. You know what I mean? It was like, we can't afford to go to Jerusalem. No, we were printers. Printers don't go to Jerusalem. So I don't, you know, someday I'd like to go. But, you know, if I have to wait till heaven, we'll see Jerusalem later. And then that day, you know the stories. And then Saturday, nothing happens. Nothing happens. They're all sitting there, just waiting, probably freaking out. This isn't what my week was supposed to be like. We were ready to take over. Now he's dead. What? This wasn't what I planned. This wasn't my calendar. The disciples are sitting around hiding, maybe back up in the upper room in Bethany in the leper's house. Let's just go back. What are we going to do now? Then in the end, on Sunday, and this is my interpretation of what happened on Sunday. Empty tomb. Any questions? Any questions? He ain't here. He's not here. Your plans were not my plans. Your ways, this is God speaking, your ways were not my ways. Now, the way for the entire world is open to have a relationship with the living God. It's not just Israel. It's not just the Jews. And then, as you go back and read these stories, I think it's in John chapter 17. They call it the high priestly prayer. When he sits and prays, and he prays for the disciples, and he prays at the very end. He prays for you and for me. For those who believe and have not seen. You and I can never go back. I can paint pictures in my head, and I can look at a calendar of what it might have been like. But I'll never see it. I don't care how many Hollywood movies maybe portray it. I don't care. There comes a time in my life and your life where you just got to say, and this is what John says at the end of John, there are so many more things I could tell you, but the things I've told you are so that you might believe, and by believing, have life. You know, and my calendar is important for next week. In your calendar, everybody probably in this room has a busy week. Stop. Take a little bit of time and just kind of read what that week was like. 2000, what is it? How many years ago? I don't know. Just stop and think about that week for the disciples and that week for the Jews and that week that changed everything. Let's pray together. Father, again, as we leave this place, whether, you know, there's going to be a shower, there's going to be work, there's going to be school, there's going to be studying, there's going to be time away from our family, some of us. And Father, I would pray that this week you would just, and every week, and not just this week, but every week, just have us take some time and stop and think. Picture in our mind what happened that week, how you changed everything. Your son changed everything, took the penalty of sin away. And all you asked us to do, all you want us to do, is trust you. We thank you that the events of that week are recorded. We thank you that the disciples wrote these things down. We thank you that you, your son chose to go there instead of me, instead of us. That he willingly gave up his spirit, gave up his life, so that we may have that very thing. It's in your son's name I pray. Amen. Thank you.